Thank you very much, Megan. It is 15 minutes after 8 o'clock. Joining me in the studio this morning is Dorothy Ricketts with Security Savings Bank. Good morning, Dorothy.
Well, good morning, Vanessa.
How are you?
Well, good. I've been walked here and it's brisk outside.
It is brisk. It was. It's not near as chilly as it was yesterday.
No, it was chilly yesterday.
And I forgot my jacket.
And I walked to work yesterday and went, oh, I think I'll drive back after lunch.
Well, it's upon us. It is fall. It's going to be here. We got a big weekend with Monmouth College homecoming.
Yes, lots of people coming back. Should be fun.
You got a reunion with your husband, and
yes,
I have a reunion as well.
We'll see lots of friends.
Yes,
lots
we
of people
will.
Back in the area. Get to show them all the good changes in Monmouth.
We do. I'm looking forward to it. Well, and I love having you in the studio with us. It's just the content's always so challenging for us. We've got to talk about scams again.
We do, and as I've said in the past, I could talk about scams for an hour or two because there are so many out there, and the best protection against the scams is to be informed and to know about them. But today, there's one I want to really concentrate on, and then there's a second one I want to mention. The one I really want to concentrate on is the scam called ransomware. As more and more people are using computers, and not many of us are computer experts. I mean, let's just say it. And it's difficult to get help on computers. You're supposed to be intuitive and sort of know how to do some things, or your help is online and you're not quite sure if it applies to you and that type of thing. So this scam called ransomware pops up. And it can be delivered to you either on your computer in the form of a pop-up file that says, hey, you've been compromised. Let us help. Call this number. Or you may even get a telephone call from someone who says they're an agent of either Microsoft, or they could say they're from Google. They may say they're from your internet provider. And they tell you, this scammer tells you that he or she can tell there's a problem in your computer, and he or she can help you fix that problem. And they will literally sit with you on the phone and give you the steps to take in your computer to fix the supposed issues that are in your computer, which those of us that don't know how to work on computers go, yes, finally someone is here to help me and guide me step by step and tell me what the screen should say when I get done with it. But unfortunately, what they're putting into your computer is malware or viruses or other types of programs that then can control your computer. Then they want to charge you for the privilege of doing that. They'll want your credit card number, and they will charge you for the privilege of supposedly fixing your computer. And then what's interesting is I've had this happen to a couple of people who have actually come to me about it. The next day you may get a call from another company that says, hey, we can tell by your computer activity that you got scammed yesterday. Pay us a few $100s, and we'll fix that for you.
Wow.
So there are just lots and lots of methods to get your attention and to try to get your money from you. So I've had several customers, probably over the last year we've had several reported, but many, many more in the last month or so. It's really seemed to pick up in the last month.
Well, that telephone call where they say they can help you with your computer, mm-hmm. I've received that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I hung up because we talk about these kind of scams.
Right.
But if you don't know,
And if you don't understand how computers work, and many of us don't, I can't tell you how computers work, but I can tell you that it's pretty uncommon if someone from Microsoft knows when you're on your computer.
Well, they know it. They're not going to call you.
Right.
They're watching all the time.
Their computers may know that you're on your computer, right. But there's not a human sitting there
exactly.
watching that. And then, so I think that's why oftentimes they may say they're from your internet provider, because that's a little more local. And, oh, yeah, it's one of our local people. They probably can see what I'm doing here. They picked up on it, and something showed up as an issue, so they're trying to follow up on it. So, and again, you can also you can click on something as well that might install some of this malware to lead to the ransomware phone calls. If you see an ad, I saw an ad recently on maybe it was at MSN News on my computer, and an ad popped up for me to click on it to get the flyer for a local regional merchant, one of the larger ones. And I thought, I don't want to click on that flyer because heaven only knows what will download on my computer. If you think you want to see something that's in an advertising promotion, go to that merchant site. Go to the retailer site and actually open up their site instead of clicking on that link to go to it.
Well, how many times have you had this happen where you're on a news site, you're reading the news, an ad pops up, but it pops up right when you're trying to click on something and the ad opens up.
Uh-huh.
And it's
difficult
to get out of it sometimes.
It is. It is. And so there is the allows me the opportunity to put in the plug to make sure that you have really good protection on your computer, antivirus protection. There are several big names out there. If you're not sure what to use, call some of the local experts who can tell you. I ask our IT people at the roundtable that you held recently which ones are better, and the best comment that I got was, well, anything that's free, you're getting what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have to spend a little bit of money, but you'd rather do it at your will to do it. It's when you want to do it. You're spending money on an antivirus protection as opposed to spending money on a scam when someone says, hey, you've got a problem in your computer and you don't know why they've called you or where they're calling from.
Well, and the other aspect of this is to get malware protection.
Yes.
That is a specific one. Now, tell me about how did ransomware get its name?
Ransomware in its initial setup, or another variant of it, I guess I should say, is that if you've got malware on your computer or some sort of virus, your computer can actually be locked down and your files are locked so you cannot access them. If you're a person at home, you may lose your photos or anything else that you store. Your emails may not be available to you. If you're a business, that's tremendous, because if you've got informational files backed up and they're locked down, you can't get to them, and then you paid a ransom to get them released.
Do you pay cash?
Most times it's a credit card. I have had a couple people who mailed checks.
Interesting.
So we were able to stop payment on those checks.
And what is the Bitcoin? Have you heard of that?
Bitcoin is an alternative form of currency, and it's e-currency. You don't have a coin for it. You don't have a bill for it. It exists in the cyber world, but can be used to pay for purchases, legitimate or non-legitimate. But it's non-regulated. It can be used to launder money as well. I mean, it's an interesting idea. I think there are a lot of pieces that need to be worked out to make it a safe idea. It's been around a long time, though.
I've heard the phrase,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it with ransomware.
Right.
That they require mm-hmm. bitcoins to be able to.
They're not. Many of them are. It's not traceable. That's why bitcoins it can be in a position where it's not traceable. So that's why that's used often.
Now, I read the ransomware was very popular in Russia and has expanded now globally. It's pretty much everywhere. No idea where it's coming from.
Many of the cyber criminals are supposedly from Russia, Czechoslovakia, some of those countries. So there's that's why it starts there.
Gotcha.
So,
and you've had actual customers and employees or people who have been affected by this particular ransomware.
That is correct. That is correct. Customers and employees. So
okay.
it's everywhere. And again, the key is education. Educate yourself. You don't have to talk to these people. We never want to hang up on anybody, but you don't have to talk to these people. Just hang up and they'll probably call back.
Well, the interesting thing is a lot of us are on the do not call list with our cell phones or our landlines, but these bad guys, they don't care.
Oh, they're not paying any attention
right.
to that do not call list.
So you get 6-7 a week.
Right.
You know, one minute you're
right.
going to be arrested by the IRS. The next, your computer's compromised.
Right.
The next, you've got your grandparent scam.
Right.
I mean, there's just so many.
And let's talk about the IRS for a minute, because that's the other one I wanted to touch on. That I've seen it, and the local press has done a wonderful job of getting information out about it. I've seen it, heard it on the radio, seen it in newspapers, but it's big. People at work, I bet I get reports 4 or 5 times a week that are just getting reported to me of people who have gotten phone calls supposedly from the IRS that they owe money, they're going to go to prison, to jail, they're going to be arrested if they don't pay it within a couple of hours, and then they want it paid in the form of like an iPhone card or a prepaid Visa or MasterCard, and that's not how the IRS works. If you've ever dealt with the IRS, they send lots of letters,
right.
and they'll let you call them, but they're not usually going to call you. I mean, you really, they have very specific practices that they follow, and they're not going to deviate and tell you you can avoid jail if you make them a payment of an iPhone card worth $300 or something like that.
Exactly.
That's just not going to happen. So that's been really prevalent lately. So again, it's education. Be aware of it. You don't have to respond. You do not have to respond.
So it is a flat-out scam.
It really is. It really is.
And somehow they have the technology to make the phone call look like it's coming from Washington, D.C.
Yes, that's a good point. If you have caller ID, in many cases, the call looks legitimate. My philosophy is if you have caller ID, you probably have an answering machine as well. Let the answering machine take it and try and determine what it is. And if you get a number to call back, say for the IRS phone call, for example, if you get a number to call back, call the 800 number for the IRS that's in your phone book, if you still have a phone book, and double check with them to see, and they'll probably tell you it's a scam too.
Yes. I've had this one, this call come in. I texted you and the sheriff and Chief Fithen, because that one, I almost fell for it. I mean, I figured it out, yes.
Yes,
when
yes.
I called the number back, and the guy was not from the IRS.
Yes, yes.
You could just tell.
Probably not from the United States.
Right. Yeah. And so I hung up. But at first, it scared me, too. I'm like, well, what do you mean I owe money? It was the way it was phrased, and then I realized what was going on.
Well, and the issue is urgency. You've got to do it right now. Anything that's urgent like that, there are very few things in life that are that urgent that you have to respond right away, and especially when it comes to money. You know, even if you respond the next day and it costs you an extra $20 for peace of mind or for checking everything out, it's better to make sure you take the time to check things out. You know, and that goes with the grandparent scam too. And I've had a couple of customers recently get phone calls and call me and say, oh, this sounded so legitimate, but it is not. And it's the urgency. We've got to do this right now. And I said, wait. We don't have to do anything right now. Let's talk about this a little bit. And if you could stop and slow down and think about it. And again, interestingly, it's the people that the customers that I deal with have just never heard of it before. So that's why it's so important to keep this line of communication out and help people hear about the scams that are out there and be forewarned about them.
Right. And the IRS scam has been going on a good year, because it's been a year since I had that call. It was one of the reasons that you and Stan and Peggy and I wanted to put together a consumer protection roundtable, because we started comparing how many of the scams are out there with our local law enforcement. And it must be Monmouth Day. They have the 309, you know, area code for that day and prefix, and then it dies down for a few months, and then it's Monmouth Day again or whatever. Now, a while back, a scam started with financial institutions.
Yes.
It wasn't them, but somebody was duplicating the call that there's something wrong with your bank account. They were sending texts. Somehow the bad guys got a database, and they were doing this to financial institutions locally.
Right. And again, it's scatter text. They'll text to every 309 number they can find, because it's in close proximity to financial institutions in the area. Some people will say, oh, I don't bank with them. Why'd I get this? And other people will say, oh, my gosh, I've got to do something. Again, I'm going to tell you, don't respond to that text. Call your bank directly. You've got to know someone at your bank. You got a name and you got a face, or go talk to a teller at the bank and find out what's going on. You don't have to respond to the text. And I will tell you that, you know, bad news, we're not going to text that to you.
Right.
There may be some promotional news, or you may be signed up for online banking where you get an alert by text, but it's not going to be bad news that requires some action on your part. So we're not going to ask you to call back from a text usually. So again, stop, step back, think about it, try to verify it before you act on it. So
okay.
And you talk about the local police departments and the sheriff's departments, you know, and if you lose money, they want to know about that. Or if you think there might be a trend going, they want to know about that, because they'll put out their own alerts and get information out to the media so that the information gets passed around to everybody. If you are a victim to a scam, another place to report as well is to the FTC. And you can do that online at ftc.gov. We also have a phone number that you can call. It's 877-382-4357. That's 877-382-4357. They don't necessarily take action on your behalf, but they keep track of the trends. And they, too, will put out nationwide alerts for the media to use in keeping their communities informed. And they also, I assume, in the background, pass this on to the investigative agencies who do act on it when they start to see trends going. But they do want to know that information as well.
Okay.
So it, you know, local, that, but I often get that question, where can I report this? Well, there's your federal level to report it.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else, Dorothy?
Just take time, think about it, relax. You don't have to respond right away. Because there'll be something new in a couple of months.
Oh, I know. Well, thank you for coming in to share this information with us.
Appreciate it.
That is Dorothy Ricketts with us from Securities.